Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
So what's happening, man? Tell us, what's the Lord saying to you?
Man, some exciting stuff. Had some abiding moments, and just love when God just speaks to you in his words.
Yes.
And I am so grateful for the opportunity to abide.
Yes.
Like, man, my goodness. Well, you know, I was reading in Matthew about building on the right foundation. And there's two type of builders that are out there. And you need to find out which one you want to be.
Just because you're building don't mean you're the right.
No.
What if you are a building? Does that?
No. Oh, that doesn't work either.
Okay.
But, you know.
What if you have a big mortgage on the building? Isn't that more godly?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about that. But you think about it. It's the implemented and practiced word of God. It's not about what you just hear, but it's what you implement and what you practice in your life that actually stands and builds foundation. It's so important because a lot of people, you can get into a place where you just listening to us on the radio or seeing us on TV, God's word is alive when you read it. It stirs your faith up, but faith is so that you can do, not so that you can just hear alone, because faith without works is dead.
Right.
You want to hear it and do something with what you hear, implement it in your life. So you can listen to 10,000 messages. You can be in revival every single day.
Oh, yes.
Seen it every day for years and not change your life. Because you got to put God's word into practice. And, you know, you look at folks and you see people's lives and relationships, and you see businesses, you see even, you know, different organizations, things happen. Mm-hmm. And you see destruction because nothing was built on the right foundation. And Matthew 7, this is really interesting. Matthew 7 is a parable about building, you know, wise and foolish builders. And I'll read you a verse of scripture. Verse 24 says that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Think about that. Everyone who hears these words, God's words, and puts them into practice. So it's not just hearing. It's about implementing and practicing the word of God.
You mean just showing up and hearing it again? That was so good.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to hear it again. I'm going to buy a CD and a download. I'm going to hear it all week. That was so good. I'm going to hear it again, right?
And again.
And again.
And again.
It makes me think about, you know, hear.
Ooh.
Voodoo. Yeah. All that stuff.
You know? Yeah. And think about it. There's never been a time in history when you look at all the different types of publications, books, videos. You can get it on demand 24 hours, 7 days a week of good Christian literature. I mean, messages, the word of God shared and preached. I mean, it's everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But what has that produced? Do we see the fruit of that? Has it been in the deepening of anyone's, you know, life and walk? Because just like I said, it's not about reading or doing. And I love what James says in chapter 1, verse 22. Says, do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. You can listen and totally be deceived, which really underscores what we've been talking about. But do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Do what it says. And it's interesting. And Mark Twain said, it's not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand. You know what I'm saying? It's like, like we mentioned on the previous program, it's not that complicated.
No.
You know, God's word says this is what we do.
Right.
And this is what we don't do.
Right.
And by the grace of God, we humble ourselves and say, God, I just want to implement this word. I want this word, because God's word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. I want to implement it in my life. I want to see this walk out. And let me tell you, just live a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Storms will come. There's something about storms, you know. Just live a little bit. You have relationship storms.
Right.
You have economic storms. Mm-hmm. You have all kind of physical storms.
Right.
And you really don't know what you've been building on until the storm comes.
Right. Tested by the fire, right? Everything will be tested by the fire.
And it's better to have one brick on a right foundation
Yes.
Than have a stucco facade, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing against stucco.
I've seen some nice stucco out there. Yeah. Nothing against stucco. But built on sand.
Right.
Because these things will happen. I mean, Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles.
That's right.
But cheer up, because I've overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's never been a greater time than today than to begin making Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you do that, you abide, you spend time with him, you read his word because you want to know what the lover of your heart has to say.
Right.
And you want to see how you can implement it and practice it in your life.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You can hear everything, but unless you put what you hear into practice, it's not going to produce anything. The seed has to go down into your heart, and you have to make room for God.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the words of Jesus when he said, if you follow my teachings, then you're really...
That's a big word.
My disciple.
Right?
And then really, it's like, that means I'm not really people. Mm-hmm. Not really folks. Even think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're, and it's like building, isn't it? If I actually know his teaching and follow it, I'm building on him, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And you can build a lot of things, but it will be tested and it will be tried.
How many folks are literally building a wing onto a building and they're thinking, if we just build this other room on, if we just build physically, while inside they're dying, while inside they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or they know him at a distance and they're like, everything's falling apart and the storm's going to hit you whether you're prepared or not.
Let me tell you something. This is a clue. If you're saying to yourself, if I've missed one gathering, I've missed a lot, I haven't heard from God, that's a clue,
right?
Because if your ability to connect with God happens one day a week at a specific place and a specific time, that's a clue that you're in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a clue to recognize, hey, I can meet with God every single day of my life.
Right.
And I love abiding. I just love God's word. It's nothing like the word of God. You know, I think he has this thing down. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think he has it down. And
even you see, you talk about how sharp it is, and it's a double-edged sword, but it even penetrates our thought life.
Mm.
It lets you know that this is the right thought or wrong thought. And it's like, if we don't have God's word, we're building, but we're maybe building on a false foundation because we're not building. We didn't allow his word to come into our hearts and minds to help us understand that the rock is Jesus, and building on the rock that you'll stand. And everything's going to be sprinkled with fire, the salt of the fire. Everything's going to be tested.
That's a sad, sad day. And we've been across many tables and many meetings only to find people to find out at that moment that all their life they've been building on something that just was not stable. And it's just, and you know what? You can avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to find out what I've been building. I'm going to do an inspection, a building inspection, and evaluate where is the truth and the word of God in what I am giving my life to and establishing and pouring over, and scrap it. It's okay to start again.
What makes me think of Zig Ziglar, you know, in the last parts of his life, and he's gone to be the Lord now. And he said, I no longer schedule my life based on time. I schedule it based on energy. And when you really get focused and you want to make a difference in God and you want to do what he's asking of you to do and what he's leading you to do, it's going to require energy. And the enemy will take a person who has good intentions, who's living their life for God and wants to do the best they can for God in view of his mercy and because of his grace, and give you a whole bunch of things that could be defined as hay, wood, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, man, look at that hay. Yeah, hay. You know what I'm saying? Look at the stubble, and you're just so busy. But when the fire comes, that's just going to be burned up, and the only thing you have left is what you built upon Jesus. And so, you know, we began to pray early on, because of how much energy it takes in this limited thing called a vapor to give it all to God. And he's like, I don't want to waste any energy. You know, forget about time, because everybody's got 24 hours. The question is, what are you doing with the energy you had in that time?
For real.
And so he prayed, dear God, you know, take away the hay, wood, and stubble now. Mm-hmm. Take it away now. Whatever it is, take it away now. We were surprised. Whoa. Okay. Hey.
Oh, that too.
Hey. You know, it's like, that's hay, that's wood, that's stubble. I mean, think about it.
That's right.
And it's like, but the energy, everything that you're focusing your energy on is producing something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so when you think about that, you're building. So building is finding out, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but then finding out how he says to live our life and how he empowers us to do that through the empowerment of what he finished working on the cross, but then out of that compelling love to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to walk this thing out.
It's a love letter. You know, God's word is a love letter to you. And don't you want to know what the lover of your heart, the lover of your soul has to say?
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways.
Yeah,
and
what a concept.
What a concept. You know, we should always be living with an awareness of, you know, God, where am I today? You know, reveal yourself to me. That's why it's also important to have these quality relationships in your life with other people that are going after God. The word of God says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. And we need to find out if our knives are still sharp or have we become dull. Mm. And one of the ways we know that is, are we spending the time with God? And what does that mean? I'm not saying in a religious, you know, schedule got in and I got to read two verses and okay, check the mark off. But it's really, what's your most important meeting of the day? You're going to expend, you know, a certain amount of hours and energy at work, in relationships, communication, talking, emails, Facebook, 45 minutes a day, by the way, to study. Where are you going to give your most important energy? What's your most important meeting of the day?
Right. And you know, thinking, planning that moment out, it makes me think about, you know, this is a profound statement because if you really soak on this, it'll change your life. But a lack of planning on your behalf does not dictate an emergency on my behalf. And so often you could be living your life and paying attention to the season that's passing so quickly so you could do everything for God. While you have other people that fly by the seat of their pants who don't get in God's word, who don't spend time in prayer and trying to follow God in that way. And they're constantly in a storm. They're constantly in a fire. Things are falling apart. And all of a sudden they bring their storm to you and they look at you and it's like, you know, how come you don't see this as an emergency? It's like, that's just a lack of planning. You just did not think it through.
Right.
You didn't think it through. And you can listen, but you can begin today that you can even be cheerful in storms if you actually build on the rock, build on Jesus Christ, because these storms will come. And he talks specifically to not too well about those who don't build on the rock. It's like building on the sand. Everything you're building is building on the sand. And we're practicing. It's practicing the word of God. Those that practice what the Lord says, which is pretty good because doctors, by the way, just because you don't know this, they practice medicine. They look at you confidently. They speak their doubt and disclaimers in small print. But the truth is that they actually practice medicine. And they may get it right and they may get it wrong. And sad to say, right now in America, the ones that get it wrong, I've noticed that they don't tell you to get it wrong.
Right.
But because they're practicing medicine, they're not God. And they're doing their best, hopefully, you know. And with that, you're looking, he wants us to practice the things of God in view of his mercy and because of his grace. And that's somebody who's building on the rock, right?
That's right. I mean, you want to practice the word of God, practice on love.
That's right.
That's building a right relationship in love.
Mm-hmm.
You want to practice your, you know, right relationship with God and with others in business. You want to read wisdom. Proverbs is full of wisdom on implementing God's knowledge and truth into your everyday life. Right. But if we don't do that, I mean, even James continues to say that anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely useless. Why look in the mirror if you're going to forget what you look like?
Right.
It's about listening and activating God's word in your life. Laying down a foundation that remains.
And blessed in all you do.
We'll be right back.
In a population of 122 million people and 60 languages spoken in Mexico, only 7 of those languages have a Bible translation. And for many who don't speak the official Spanish language, it's difficult to read and understand the Bible.
The world's largest Bible translation organization, Wycliffe Bible Translators, is addressing the problem in what they call the Mexico Worker Project, enlisting and training 1,000 people in literacy, Bible translation, and language development, equipping the Mexican people themselves, regardless of what language they speak, to translate the Bible. After they interact with communities of other groups translating the Bible, team members go back to their home areas, equipped to use what they've learned to bring the Bible to villages and towns throughout Mexico in their own language.
Comprometerse con la Biblia. Engage with the Bible, a book for all people.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What we're talking about in this part of the program about the concept of moderate, period. But this particular reporter is talking about moderate Islam as an oxymoron. I mean, think about that. Ibrahim, he's actually talking about on this video you're about to see from CBN about how it's an oxymoron. And it really is. It's very serious to understand that it really is. And it makes just common sense when you think about it. And it just contradicts the reality. In other words, it doesn't exist in the context of a true believer in Islam who believes the full that Muhammad is truly the prophet from their God that brings down, you know, you either believe him or you don't. Mm-hmm. In regards to talking to, you know, John Stemberger in the Florida's attorney in Florida and with his organization that, you know, we were talking to him and I was, you know, asking all these questions. I love to ask these kind of questions to people who love the Lord and they're trying to see how this thing can all work out. And because the conflicts that are taking place and they want to build a tower, for example, Islam wants to build a tower where 9/11, a place like
a mosque.
You know, why would you want to build a mosque? Right. I mean, why even bring that up right now? Because it's significant. It means something. But the whole thing is that, you know, in regards to what Ibrahim's talking about here, that it's an oxymoron. But I was talking to John Stemberger about that, and John was explaining things. And I said, he says that the hope for America to work as it is to have moderates, you know, moderate Muslims and moderate Christians. Hmm. And you have to understand this. Jesus calls a moderate Christian a lukewarm Christian, right? And that's Revelation, right. What's the scripture say? Revelation?
Revelation 3:16. And it says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth.
So think about that. I mean, moderate in God is not something you want to be.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, you don't want to be moderate. Idea. Is like, you know, you're not hot and you're not cold. You got a little bit, you got half of the world in you and half of God's things inside of you.
I'm moderately in love with you.
I'm moderate.
Not
right,
all the way,
right.
You know.
You go home and try that today.
Try that with your wife.
Yeah, right.
Your spouse.
Or your spouse and all. And so listen to this, what he's talking. I think it's just so timely because we have to understand. And of course, if that's what they believe, you know, that's what you believe.
Right.
But to say that being moderate is the hope is like, because what he's talking about here is so important is because a moderate cannot contradict an extremist who extremely believes fully what the Quran says, because they would be coming against their own. And so you don't see a moderate stand up and come against a full believer, a hot believer in the Quran, because they know they were coming against the very Quran that they say that they believe in. But think about it, even in Islam, meaning the word Islam means submission. So to say that you're a moderate Muslim means I moderately submit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Which they would say you're not even Muslim at all.
Right. I mean, it's just like telling your boss, you're like, they lay the rules out. He or she lays the rule out. I said, well, I'm going to moderately obey those rules.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so as you're looking for new work, you're going to be able to understand the expectation was for you to actually fully follow that. And it's just an expectation, just standard. Well, understanding what Sharia law is, which is the Quran is the law, and that's how, you know, somebody who is loyal to Islam would see it. That's why it's so difficult for them to come up and say, you know, the big question is in America, truly, if you're an loyal American, wouldn't you stand up and say, but that's not right no matter what it is? And it's like, that's but right. I can't because it's written in the Quran.
Right.
They actually just believed fully. in what the Quran said. Now, this is the question. As Christians, what do we do? What do we believe? And we need to get in and say, you know what? I need to get into the Word of God and find, I want to be not a moderate Christian. I want to be loyal to Jesus Christ, which is a lover of man's soul. Out of all the gods out there, and there is no God besides God, whose son is Jesus Christ, this is the truth. God loved you so much that he gave his son. He laid down his life for you. He died for you, that you can have a relationship with him. He's the only God that laid down his life to show you how much he loves you. And his Father brought him up from the grave, raised him from the dead. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father to let you know you can be truly in the family of God through the Messiah, through Jesus Christ today. Find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Hell shows what really is the outworking of people trying to build a name for themselves, united in one communication. There, to me, is the key to unlock what it is that the Bible will say about the world of media. So if you take the imagination, coalesce it with the human pride and enticement and all of that, and bring a homogenization of tastes and ideas, for the first time in history, we are no longer merely a print culture. The whole world is speaking the same language, and it is in images making a name for ourselves. That, to me, is the truth-unlocking base on which this issue has to be addressed. Take imagination, blend it with communication ability, and the whole world is talking the same language with cupidity as the motive.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And what happened before revival took place and that prophetic word was given about what God was going to do in Pensacola, Florida, which began to birth Father's Day of 1995 at Brownsville Assembly of God, 3100 West DeSoto Street, Pensacola, Florida, is that God spoke to Pastor John Kilpatrick, because at that time some real difficult things were happening in the culture. I mean, abortion clinics were being blown up, doctors were being killed, people said they were doing that in the name of Christianity. Some falls of ministers had taken place and things were looking really bad. Well, God spoke to Pastor John Kilpatrick and told him, if you'll begin to speak into the heavenlies what I'm telling you to speak, I'll change the atmosphere. And he did that. And what happened, Father's Day 1995 was the beginning of the Yonggi Cho prophecy about God said, I would begin in Pensacola. I would go all the way to the Mississippi, but he'll come back. God's going to come back through the panhandle again. And that's where the Lord told us to begin to do the very same thing. First, let's go find out what the Lord told Pastor John Kilpatrick to do about brass heavens. When you're praying and all of a sudden, doesn't seem your word's going anywhere, the atmosphere has changed, but you can change that atmosphere. And that's what we're doing here at VFN TV. Let's take a look now.
And right before revival broke out, especially about a week or two before revival broke out, you could come in there on Sunday night to pray. And it was like you almost had to whisper, because if you had any volume at all, it was like it was just booming in heaven. That's the way it felt. Derek Prince told me before he died, he came there and spent about a month with his wife from Jerusalem. And he said, Brother John, he said, I've been all over the earth many times. And he said, I've never been a place on the earth that had such an open heaven as Pensacola does. And I remember 1988, back during the Jim Baker debacle and Jimmy Swaggart debacle, I heard the Lord say to me, he said, He said, the heavens are brassing over from New Orleans this way toward Pensacola. And that's the first time I'd ever heard that phrase. And he said, the heavens are clabbering, they're thickening. And he said, if you'll preach what I give you on television, and if you'll preach what I give you at Brownsville, he said, I'll begin to open the heavens. And at that time, Pensacola was known as the abortion capital of the world. That's where they had all the abortion bombings and abortion killings. Dr. David Gunn was killed by Michael Griffin. The kids that bombed the abortion clinic over there, they all had Bible names. And the Lord said, if you'll preach what I give you, he said, I'll open up the heavens from New Orleans this way. And he said, I will send my spirit. That's all I knew. So I began to preach what he gave me. And the Lord gave me a series on when the heavens are brass. And I actually wrote a book about it. And whenever I began to preach on that, how that disobedience and sin clabbers the heavens. And it hinders the people from getting through those clabbered brassed over heavens. Jesus, when he came, he said, I've come to do thy will, O Lord. And he said, you'll see, he told Nathaniel, he said, you'll see heaven open over me. And angels will be going up on my behalf and coming down on my behalf, ascending and descending over me. When I saw that in the scriptures, I knew I had a book, and I wrote the book about it. And I began preaching on open heavens. And what God did, basically, in just a short period of time, when he sent revival in 95, Pensacola no longer was known as abortion capital of the world. It became known as a revival capital of the world. So somebody give God praise.
So it just shows you how God begins to change the atmosphere. And that's one of the things that he told us when he established VFN TV and the daily radio program. He showed us specifically as we continue to speak in the air, begin to speak out what God is telling us to speak out, that the atmosphere changes. And we're seeing that take place. We've seen newscasters that have been in that region in the Gulf Coast, what we call the glory zone that we've been speaking into, that they begin to hear the Lord after 17 years of broadcasting the news every day. And he said, the Lord has just called him into ministry. He's leaving because I got tired of speaking empty words, and he's gone into the ministry since then. We had other people that are saying how much hope that they've gotten. Why? Because as we begin to do what God says and speak out the words into the atmosphere, it changes things. It just begins to change things. You look at what took place, revival that took place in 1995. Now we're looking at, it's already beginning to bubble up in the all the way to the Mississippi where Young Yi Cho gave that word. Well, guess what? It's going to come right back through the Gulf Coast again, come through the Panhandle, and I really truly believe God has set us up for that very thing.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.